Welcome to Bible Fellowship Assembly Sunday Morning Messages. Today, Dave Jenkinson brings a Thanksgiving message entitled, Are You Thankful? And now, here's Dave.
So good to see each and every one of you here this morning. It's a wonderful Thanksgiving 2024. We've entitled this, Are You Thankful? Here's a poem that may help us. Count your blessings instead of your crosses. Count your gains instead of your losses. Count your joys instead of your woes. Count your friends instead of your foes. Count your smiles instead of your tears. Count your courage instead of your fears. Count your full years instead of the lean. And count your kind deeds instead of the mean. Count your health instead of your wealth. Count on God instead of yourself. Let's just take a moment to pray, shall we? Heavenly Father, Thanksgiving is a time of giving our gratitude to God, our Creator and Provider, whose guidance and care go before us, whose love is with us forever. But Thanksgiving is also a time to reflect, a time of changes, to remember that we too grow and change from one season to another. Thanksgiving is a time of changing seasons. The leaves turn golden in autumn's wake, apples crisp in the first chill of fall breezes. So let us remember, though, the true meaning of Thanksgiving. As we see the beauty of autumn, let us acknowledge the many blessings which are ours. Let's thank God for homes, for health, for harvest, for happy moments. And where these may appear to lack, let us remember the words of Jesus when he said, "It is more blessed to give than to receive." As we once again view our abundance in the light of the poverty and misery of so many, let us rejoice and give Him our truest thanksgiving from the hearts. And may the words that follow us inspire the people that gratitude is our first response. For it's in Jesus' name we give you our thanks. Amen. Much to be discouraged about in these days. So many of Christians are downtrodden and depressed. As we speak at this very moment, North Korea and South Korea, well, they're just accusing each other of trying to restart the Korean conflict. Ukraine and Russia, now almost into their third year of a continuing war. China escalates in attempts to control and dominate the South China Sea by simply absent-mindedly ramming the Philippine vessels. Israel and Gaza, Lebanon, Hezbollah, Iran, they're all in a major war. As we speak, the U.S. is split down the center in support for both of the major parties. And the next election will most likely bring financial crisis and political ones as well. That's regardless of who wins. But God always wins. Canada's current government has faced several non-confidence motions in the past few weeks. Currently, a letter is being circulated that is asking for the current Prime Minister to step aside and let someone else manage government. In addition to all this, the major atomic war treaties have been set aside, allowing any of the signed nations to have free rein regarding how or when they are permitted to use atomic weapons. And that's just the first paragraph of a long list of what's going on right now. So how can we be thankful in this world today? How can we truly give God our thanksgiving? Are there examples in Scripture? Are there verses that can remind us that we are called to thanksgiving? I'd like to say there are a few, and we'd like to examine them for a few moments this morning. In Daniel, as he traverses four governments, essentially. Daniel remains fixed because he's fixed on the rock that we were singing about earlier. But the governments change. And at the very beginning, as a young man, Daniel has discovered that he needs to do something. He needs to make a decision because his life is at stake. Among the many wise men, Daniel and his three friends are called to do something never done before in the history of monarchies or dictatorships, depending on how you see them. And that is simply this. The king has had a dream. He's upset. He can't remember the dream, but it was a bad one. It was a nasty one. So he calls upon his wise and most noble, esteemed counselors. Just give me the dream and then tell me what it means. Seems simple enough to the king. Well, they've never had this kind of a request before, and they are flabbergasted. They can't do it. They know that. There are numerous ones who are saying, this is impossible. No one's ever asked for something like this. But Daniel, among his friends, says, let's go to prayer. Oh, what a great response. Well, what do you do when trouble hits you? Anger? Frustration? Despair? Throw up your hands, I just quit. Or prayer? To call upon the one who says, I was just waiting for you to say something to me. So Daniel does that. God gives him the dream and the answer. And this is Daniel's response in Daniel chapter 2, verse 23. I thank you and praise you, O God of my fathers. You have given me wisdom and might and have made known to me what we asked of you. For you have made known to us the king's demand. And so it was that he gave thanks. What despair they must have experienced. And what joy they must have had when God answered their prayer. Isn't that something? We don't like those bad experiences, do we? We don't like it when there's a flat tire, when the car isn't running, these are first world problems, right? A lot of the world doesn't have a car or a tire. But we don't like it when the boss is angry with us. We don't like it when there's problems, financial problems. But God's saying, I'm allowing these so that you might see that you are not alone and that I am with you, truly with you. Just pray specifically. You know, if you just pray that general prayer, Lord, bless me. I think that's going to be good enough. You know, I don't want to interfere with all those millions of others that are asking specific prayers. Just bless me. You know, how do you know whether it's God? But when you pray specific, you know that you know he has heard and he's reminded you he is with you to the end of the age. Daniel had that great example. Later on in Daniel 6, when he was thrown to the lions, before he was thrown to the lions, Daniel 6, verse 10, what does he do? He says, when Daniel knew that the writing was all signed, the writing that was to not pray to any other god or being beside the king, he went home and in his upper room, with windows open, he knelt down on his knees 3 times that day and prayed and gave thanks before his God, as is custom since early days. What a good habit. He had the habit of prayer and he had the habit of thanks. Isn't that wonderful? So about us. How about it? The Old Testament gives us instructions on thanksgiving. In Leviticus 7, verse 12, it says, if you offer it with thanksgiving, he shall offer the sacrifice of thanksgiving, unleavened cakes mixed with oil, unleavened wafers anointed with oil, and cakes blended with mixed oil. I guess we kind of got that. Repetition is found in Scripture too. And what's the common theme? It needs to have oil. Now, not motor oil. This is the oil of anointing, probably olive oil. But it's not the literal that he's talking about. He's saying oil was a picture of the Holy Spirit. How do we know that? Well, in Luke, we found that the Lord himself in Luke 4:19, I believe it is, says that the Lord, when he opened the book, he said, "The Spirit of the Lord is upon me, and he has anointed me to preach the gospel to the poor." By the way, just an aside, how are we doing with preaching the gospel to the poor? The poor of this world are the 98% that don't live in Canada or that don't. It's literal. And that's what Jesus says. Well, the sacrifice of thanksgiving is to be have the anointing of the Holy Spirit. So you can say thanks, or you can say, "Thank you, God, for delivering me." And there's so much of a difference. In Psalm 116, I wonder if you could turn, those of you who have Bibles or maybe have them on your phones, there's a few things that we can learn from Psalms 116 about thanksgiving. The psalmist said, "I love the Lord. He has heard my voice of my supplications. He has inclined his ear to me. Therefore, I will call upon him as long as I live. The pains of death surrounded me. The pangs of Sheol laid hold of me. I found trouble and sorrow. Then I called upon the name of the Lord. Oh, Lord, I implore you, deliver my soul." Here's the answer. Gracious is the Lord and righteous. Yes, our God is merciful. The Lord preserves the simple. Oh, by the way, let us never take this word simple and despise it. We are all simple before God. He is the truly wise one. And when we start elevating intellectualism or styles, we have elevated the wrong thing. Because God alone is to be praised. And so don't ever be ashamed if somebody says, "Oh, you're just simple." Yeah, that's exactly what we are. But He preserves the simple. "I was brought low and he saved me. Return to your rest, O my soul, for the Lord has dealt bountifully with you. You have delivered the richest inheritance you can bestow to your descendants is not a legacy of dollars and cents. It's a legacy of the Word of God. A legacy to reach those who enter my soul from death." Do you notice there's no talking about material possessions here? It's all about his soul. Why is that? Because the richest possession you can have is a soul forgiven by Jesus Christ. The way that they understand it. Let's not go out beyond the border. Let's go start at home with our message, because it's there what the Lord wants us to do. "You have delivered my soul from death, my eyes from tears, my feet from falling, and I will walk before the Lord in the land of the dead." No, it's in the land of the living. The only person that's truly alive on this earth right now is you if you have named the name of Jesus. It's you if you've been born again. You are the living ones. The rest of the world are corpses walking, dead men walking. That's what the Bible says. And they need to hear the message of life. And they need, perhaps you need to hear, "Arise, come forth, come out of there, Lazarus." Except it's your name he's calling this time. And then he said, "I believed, therefore I spoke, and I am greatly afflicted. I said in my haste, all men are liars. What shall I render to the Lord for all his benefits towards me? I will take up the cup of salvation and call upon the name of the Lord. I will pay my vows to the Lord now in the presence of all his people." This is wonderful. Some groups never have altar calls, never ask for you to come forth to declare your surrender to the Lord Jesus. But the Bible is full of altar calls where John the Baptist called people forth. Real altar calls. I'm not talking about little fill-in-the-blank altar calls. I'm talking heart-wrenching altar calls where the heart of the person has come to obedience and submission and life from Jesus. And he says, "Precious in the sight of the Lord is the death of his saints." Now, we often use this verse in funerals, speaking about the preciousness of a former brother or sister. But did you know there's a secondary meaning here? And it's simply as this. As we were watching the story called The Blind, Phil Robertson had a severe drinking problem. He had just multiple marriage problems. And it was a powerful, powerful story. But when he came to the point of surrender, the preacher who was there in this swampy water, somewhere in Louisiana, I think, and it was nasty looking, but it was where, and the preacher says, "You know, I'm here to say the old Phil Robertson is going to die today. And he's going to rise anew." Now, he's speaking in a figurative way because he's already made that decision to rise anew. But boy, I don't know. When Phil went down into the water, came up, and he just burst out of the water like a rocket ship. And then pulls the preacher down again, so they both have a second donkey. And it was pretty powerful, but it was pretty sweet, too. And the look of joy on his face. It's not about the baptism. It's about the Lord. And so, precious in the sight of the Lord is the death of his saints. Phil was in agreement. I'm going down. I'm concluding this once and for all before God. O Lord, I am your servant. I am your servant, the son of your maidservant. You've loosed my bonds, and I will offer to you a sacrifice of thanksgiving. I will call upon the name of the Lord. I will pay my vows to the Lord in the presence of all his people, in the courts of the Lord's house, in the midst of Jerusalem. Yes, this is a great thanksgiving psalm for us today. But there was more. And in the last few minutes, I want to share with you a little bit about Jesus' thanksgiving. And in Jesus' thanksgiving, there's a few verses that we discover when Jesus said thank you. For example, in Luke 10:21, in that hour, Jesus rejoiced in spirit and said, "I thank you, Father, Lord of heaven and earth. You have hidden these things from the wise and the prudent and revealed them to babes. Even so, Father, it seemed good in your sight." He's calling the disciples babies. Do you get offended by that? You shouldn't. You shouldn't, because they were still so far from understanding what he was all about and what he was going to do. And as we think, even at the tomb of Lazarus, he says in John 11:41, they took away the stone from the place where the dead man was lying. Can't get any more dead than that. And Jesus lifted up his eyes and said, "Father, I thank you that you have heard me." We mustn't add to God's word. But I was reading just in the last few days of this incident, and I noticed something I had never seen before in this chapter, John chapter 11. And it's a pretty powerful chapter. But in verse 33, after Jesus had basically let his friend die, it said, when Jesus saw, verse 33, her weeping and the Jews who were with her weeping, he groaned in his spirit and was troubled. What was he troubled about? And he said, "Where have you laid them?" And they said, "Lord, come and see." And Jesus then wept. And the Jews said, "See how he loved him." And some said, "Could not this man who opened the eyes of the blind also kept this man from dying?" And Jesus, again groaning in himself. Boy, there's a lot of groaning going on. Now, when do you groan? Well, some of us groan when we are troubled with what needs to be said. You want to get it right. But remember, this is God in flesh dwelling amongst us. Lazarus was already in paradise. Like, we have a mistaken understanding of what's going on here. Jesus can talk to him in paradise just like he can talk to him on earth. The difference being that on earth, his body has been separated from his spirit and soul. And his spirit and soul is now already gone to paradise. Well, how do we know that? He talks about people going to paradise in Luke's account. also talks about people going the other place. What are we trying to get at? My view, not trying to add to Scripture, but say it this way. He was groaning because he was having to bring back a man from paradise back to earth. A man who was in a place of ultimate joy. A place of ultimate pleasure, but a place of ultimate peace. And he's going to bring him back into a world where he's going to have to die again. And that must have been very frustrating for the God of love. And so he said, I thank you. You have heard me. I'm not sure exactly what it was, because we all know that he was determined that he was going to raise him up. He'd already said this. He already said, I am the resurrection and the life. It's not about religion. It's not about format. It's not about formula. It's about life in Jesus. And so, when else does he thank the Lord? Well, he thanked the Lord with the 7 loaves and the fish. He gave thanks and broke, so thanked the Lord, his Father, at the Last Supper. He gave thanks and broke it and said, this is my body, which is given for you. Do this in remembrance of me. And it's so good that we can do this either weekly or monthly, but do it. As often as you do it, remember him. There are others that gave thanks, and we have not enough time to cover them all, but I want to just cover a few verses from Paul's attitude towards thanksgiving, where he says in Philippians 4, verse 6, be anxious for nothing, but in everything by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known to God. Let your requests be made known with thanksgiving. Thanksgiving colors your request as a request of hope. Have you been doing that? Or we just kind of memorize prayers that we've learned as a child or learned from maybe even just having a habit of praying? And there's, yeah, I got through my prayer time, Lord. That was really good. And he's saying, I didn't even hear you because you're like the person in Luke's gospel who prayed to himself. Yes, the Pharisee in Luke 18:11. The Pharisee stood and prayed thus with himself. God, I thank you. He's calling himself God. That's what happens when we pray to ourselves. When we don't get serious with God in our prayer lives. When we just patter off a prayer. We read a prayer, but it means nothing. You know, there's some glorious prayers, but if they're not ours, then we're praying to ourselves and we're making ourselves God again. Please, do yourself a favor. You can't answer. You know, you're not God. So, leave it at the altar, and go to God sincerely. And finally, as we think about these things, I'm going to tell you a little story that I saw recently. Just a very small story. A man who collected coins in his giant piggy bank for 70 years. They finally opened it up. The weight was around 70 kilograms. They had to use some sort of a lift to get it where they could empty it. And as they emptied it, they found that there was about $2,000 in coins. They laid them all out before them. But the quarters were made of silver, meaning now they're worth more than 25 cents. So the true nature of $2,000 is probably way low. But amongst the revealing final total were photographs, paper clips, tickets, buttons, candy wrappers, even a fruit sticker. So what's the point? Just this. A penny doesn't seem like much, and sometimes you think you don't amount to much for God. But bounded together with other pennies and other quarters and other nickels and other larger notes, what happens? You become more valuable, especially when you realize the most valuable one of all is the Lord Jesus, the precious one. And so, as you pray, 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 as you give, 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 as you live out your life of love, 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 these little acts add up and make an impact for Jesus. And you can do much if God is in it. And He's waiting for you to surrender today. Don't wait till tomorrow. This is the day the Lord has made. Let's do it today. And this is the day we can say, okay, from now on, Lord, I'm going to surrender to You. And I may only be a little copper tarnished penny, but it's Your penny. Let me live for You. And as a result, great things will happen. Why was the widow's two pennies so significant? She gave all that she had. May we surrender all to Jesus even this day. May God bless you as you enjoy this time of thanksgiving.
Father God, we just pray that we just go home today and just, well, as David wrote this psalm, we just bless You with our soul, God, that we speak to our soul and we bless You with our soul and not just with our lips. And as David spoke about this morning, that we're not just praying to ourselves and we're speaking to You, Father. And remain thankful to You for the things that You've done. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Thank you for listening. Come back next week for the next Sunday morning message from Bible Fellowship Assembly. Visit us on the web at bfa.church, where you will find our physical address and contact information. We'd love to see you if you're in the Timmins area, or drop us a line at info@bfa.church. Until next time.